This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
On House Taxation to order, Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler. Fikert.
Here.
Gibson. Here. Greenfield. Hunhoff. Junkie.
Here.
Kirkaby.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Lang.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Solem.
Here.
Thompson. Noem. Here. Olson.
Here.
Mr. Chair, 13 of 15 are present.
We have a quorum present. We have one member that will be a little bit late, and I think Representative Cutler is on a bill, so I think they'll be joining us shortly. There she is right there. I'd like to take a minute to welcome everyone to House Tax this morning, both here and in the internet audience. At this time, we'll have the pages come forward and introduce themselves and tell us where they're from.
I'm Laura McHenry, and I'm from Watertown.
Great. Welcome, and thank you for your help this morning. Also like to take this opportunity to have you please turn off your cell phones or turn them on vibrate. And if you do plan on testifying today, please sign in the back of the room on the pedestal. With that, I think we'll get started. We have a little bit of substance going on today here. So first we'll start with the approval of the minutes. Motion by Junkie, is there a second?
Second
by Cutler. Comments on that motion? Seeing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. We plan on going in order today, so with that, we will move to Senate Bill 21, Impose a Fuel Excise Tax on Ethyl Alcohol and Methyl Alcohol Used in Motor Vehicles on the Public Roadways and Highways to Repeal the Fuel Excise Tax on Ethanol Blends and E85 and M85, and to revise certain provisions regarding the fuel excise tax. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 21? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Kinsman, Secretary of Revenue and Regulation. Senate Bill 21 comes before you as a compromise bill between the petroleum marketers, the ethanol industry, and the Department of Revenue. As you're probably aware, we had some discussions with this with regard to this issue last year. Over the summer, we worked with the industries involved, the stakeholders involved, to come up with a compromise bill. There were a couple bills that were introduced early on in the session. There was one bill from the ethanol industry that set the tax rate essentially at 5 cents, and the department's bill, which set it at 9 cents. We got together with the industry and came up with a compromise bill that we both, neither one of us are particularly thrilled with, but we're certainly able to work with, and I think that's the definition of a good compromise in this situation. What Senate Bill 21 does is, for many years, ethanol products were taxed at the 10% rate of ethyl alcohol and E85. Those tax rates were set separately. Recently, there's been a development where the marketing of intermediate blends has become an issue. The tax system that we had set up, the structure that we had set up, didn't work particularly well with that additional offering of intermediate blends. The Department of Revenue and Regulation worked with the ethanol industry to devise a better taxation structure that would promote those intermediate blends. Senate Bill 21 does away with the 20-cent gallon tax on E10 and the 10-cent gallon tax on E85. It imposes a tax on denatured ethyl alcohol at 8 cents a gallon. The tax is collected at the wholesale level, just like petroleum products. After you tax the ethyl alcohol at 8 cents, and then you mix it with another blend. It doesn't make any difference what blend you make from it. One of the issues that we had with the other tax structure was there was a tax rate set for 10%, and its definition was anything less than 10%, and E85, which was anything over 75%. So what we did was we came up with a bill that, once you tax both products, how you blend it, and the taxation of those blends is all simple because it's previously been taxed, so you make any blend that you want out of it in the Department of Revenue, and the ethanol industry is satisfied that the tax has been collected on that product regardless of the blend that you're selling at the pump. Senate Bill 21 provides for a new simplified taxation structure for ethyl alcohol that will promote the sale of intermediate blends. It's revenue neutral to the highway fund. It has the support of the department, the ethanol industry, and the stakeholders. And I think it's a good compromise that simplifies the taxation of ethyl alcohol and will promote the blending of ethyl alcohol with gasoline for the intermediate blends, which was a major concern of the ethanol industry. It also takes away the blender pump return, which is what the petroleum marketers have been filing for the last year when they've been selling those intermediate blends. So I really think that this is a good compromise between the industry and the department, and I think it will accomplish the goals of the department, which were to remain revenue neutral to the highway fund and also meet the benefits of to the ethanol industry of promoting intermediate blends. It also simplifies the tax process for the petroleum marketers, and I don't anticipate that we'll be seeing any opponents to the bill. With that, then, I would go ahead and stand by for questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Secretary Kinsman. Further proponents to Senate Bill 21.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Harry Christensen. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Ethanol Producers Association, which represents the plants in South Dakota. As the Secretary said, that we've worked on this over the course of the summer, came together, I think, about 2 weeks after session started, and we're satisfied that this will be a great step forward to enable us to put blender pumps in and sell higher concentrated of alcohol blends, and we fully support the compromise and will answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 21? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association, and I represent the gas station owners and the truck stop owners and the wholesalers, so I am basically the stakeholders in this. And we have worked, all of us have worked together on this compromise. It's been a little bit of an issue. We think it's a good compromise. We think it will work out well for everybody involved, and we would urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lightsky. Further proponents to Senate Bill 21? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 21? Seeing no opponents, we'll waive the rebuttal and move to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Noem.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Kinsman. Would you just tell me what impact this bill will have on revenues that will come into the state?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We did the analysis based upon the current number of E10 gallons sold, and at 8 cents per gallon, the tax collected on an E10 blend will actually be, if they sold the same number of gallons of E10, it would generate an extra $1.6 million to the highway fund. At E15, it's a little bit revenue negative, and as you go further on down the line, a little less money comes into the highway fund. But given the fact that E10 is the flagship right now, and E15, one of the things that the ethanol industry is trying to do is to get the EPA to bump that up. So what we try to do, we understand we're going to make a little money in the interim period. And once E15 then becomes the standard, it will be revenue neutral, and we think that the decision to set it at 8 cents is something that will make us money in the short term, and over that period of time we'll probably make 1.6 million at least for the first year. After that, the losses at E15 and E30 are going to take a long time for us to work through. So if we run into a situation where, for example, E30 becomes that flagship that E10 is, we'll come back to you at some point and we'll say, you know, we may need an adjustment here, but we think for the foreseeable future, this is going to be revenue positive.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we'll close the question portion and move to comments and or action on Senate Bill 21.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd move do pass on Senate Bill 21.
Motion do pass by Representative Noem, second by Junkie. Comments on that motion?
Just a few. I appreciate the compromise, and I appreciate your ability to work together and come to a solution. You've made our job easier today, and this has been something that we heard this summer at the transportation study was going to be looked at, something that we needed a resolution to, and so I appreciate the industry and the department and everybody, the ethanol producers, coming together. So thank you for that. I think we have a good workable bill here that in the short run will help us during these economic times. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments on the do pass motion? Just have one quick one. I did notice in, section 2, that we had changed cereal grain to ag products, which is something I was looking at as we move towards cellulosic and other things for ethanol. So I noted that was a really good change, but just like to piggyback with Representative Noem that, you know, when we started off session, there wasn't quite the symbiotic relationship we have today, so really appreciate that. With that, we'll move to the vote. All those in favor, say aye. All opposed, nay. On the do pass motion, Senate Bill 21. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler.
Aye.
Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunthoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 15 ayes.
Unanimous. Senate Bill 21, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Representative Noem, since you made the motion, would you care to carry this bill?
Sure.
Great, thank you. Moving on to Senate Bill 161, prohibit the use of federal income tax credits when assessing property. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 161? Representative Lederman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Sorry, I didn't really get too prepared. We've kind of gone through this fairly quickly. The bill that we're looking at, Senate Bill 161, basically what it does is it removes the ability of using tax credits to value property. And if you know anything about tax credits, they're used to basically encourage or incentivize the building and use of low-income elderly housing. This was brought to me by a constituent who's sitting here today, Lou Weinberg, who's a person in our community who's built hundreds of low-income housing units in the southeast South Dakota and over 2,000 in the tri-state area. The purpose of the tax credit is to incentivize, and what has happened is that incentive has been taken away by the overvaluation of property based upon those tax credits. So what the bill seeks to do is level the playing field, bring the incentive back to the tax credit, and this law has been passed in 6 other states, and it's nothing new. It's just trying to basically put the incentive back into it. Thank you.
I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative Lederman. Further proponents to Senate Bill 161. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lou Weinberg. I'm from Sioux City, Iowa, and as Representative Lederman has said, we've been in the affordable housing business since the early 60s. Most of that development has occurred in South Dakota, primarily working in rural communities and small towns with the need for affordable elderly housing. And what Representative Lederman touched on is the fact that the federal government provides these tax credits to the state to incentivize people to go out and develop affordable housing in our communities, and in our particular case, address the needs of elderly, low-income, and disabled. What's happened in this particular instance is a assessor has decided that he would add the value of those tax credits to the assessed value of the property under the normal assessment process, thereby basically diminishing the value and incentive provided by the federal government. And that just simply doesn't make any sense. So what the bill seeks to do, obviously, is eliminate the credit from that formula, also eliminates a historic tax credit, which is used in some cases, and also wind or energy credits that are federal credits. So what this would simply do is eliminate that going forward into the future, and we would ask the committee's consideration in passing that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Weinberg. We'll probably have you stand by here. Further proponents to Senate Bill 161. Senator Nesselhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Senator Ben Nesselhoff, District 17, Clay and Turner Counties. The development that we're specifically talking about is in my district. It's a few blocks from my house. It's been a great development to have there. I simply want to point out, with South Dakota's aging population, these sorts of developments are becoming more necessary, more desirable to have. I think that it's fantastic that the federal government does a credit in this sort of way. And because of the way it's happening, we have a situation where the right hand giveth and the left hand taketh away. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's right, especially, again, at a time when we're looking for ways to create some sorts of economic development, of course, but especially, again, in South Dakota with our aging population. These are very, very important projects, and I would ask the committee to help us out with this Senate Bill 161. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nesselhoff. Further proponents to Senate Bill 161. Further proponents. Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 161? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we will waive the rebuttal and move to committee questions for Senate Bill 161. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we will move to committee action and or discussion. Moved by Kirkby Dupas, second by Greenfield. Comments on that motion? Seeing no comments. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Biker?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunthoff?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Nome?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 15 ayes.
Senate Bill 161, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
Motion Greenfield consent, second by Noam. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. It is placed on the consent calendar. Very good. Senate Bill 86, revised certain provisions concerning the application of the inventory tax on certain fuels in storage immediately prior to a tax increase. Are there any proponents to Senate Bill 86? Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Tax Committee. This is really impressive to sit at this side of here, this thing, and wow. Well, thank you all. I did send you all an email. This is Senator Jim Hunstead, District 2. I don't often get an opportunity to come before this committee because I don't really carry much legislation most of the time. This last summer, because we were talking about E85 and the way it gets taxed and so forth, I was spending a little time in the law books, and I found a piece of legislation that didn't fit in our law books, and I said, wow, I get to have a repealer. This will be a lot of fun. So as I brought this repealer, I got a lot of folks that signed on because, like you, taking a few laws off the books has always been a good idea. The process got changed as we went along and got hoghoused, and so what you see is not a repealer anymore, but a big change. Let me see if I can't go through with you what happened with this process. In the last time gas tax was increased was the 1st of January in 1996. It went from 18 cents to 22 cents. The way tax on gas is done, different than tax on almost any other product that gets sold, usually product is brought into a store, it's sold, the retailer collects the sales tax and remits it to the state of South Dakota. With gasoline, it's paid in a different way. Gasoline tax is paid up front before it's delivered to the gas station, and then the retailer gets to collect the tax back from the customer when he eventually sells it. On a tax increase, we arrive at something that happens that's a little strange. In 1995, in December, let's say, someone got a delivery of gas, and they paid 18 cents for the gas that was delivered to their tank, and they sold some of it. And then on January 1st of 1996, the tax was now 22 cents, and this retailer began to be able to collect 22 cents back from his customers, even though he'd only paid 18 cents for the tax. So on January 1st, 1996, the retailer had to measure the gas that was still left in his tank. He didn't have 2,000 gallons anymore. He only had 1,000 gallons, but he measured it, and he had to pay the 4 cents on the remaining gas that was in the tank. And that gas tax, I was trying to think what the name of it is, but inventory tax. They just called it an inventory tax, and that inventory tax became due on January 1st of 1996. Well, on January 2nd, it didn't make any difference anymore. He'd already paid his tax, and it didn't make any, and so then I chose to repeal that section of law that no longer needed to be in the books. Department of Revenue came, and they said, you know, we really need to fix this in another way because we may, in fact, have a tax increase once again in the future, and we're going to need this kind of legislation. So the wording that you read in the bill today was crafted, I suspect with your staff's help, but certainly with the Department of Revenue, and a way to make the wording such that at any time that there's a gas tax increase, that this inventory tax would go into place and it would be due in the same way that it was in 1996. So the hog house, if you would like more explanation of exactly what the wording is and how it comes to play, I won't try to explain that. Not being an attorney, sometimes writing down the words is tough. The process, though, is the same. When the tax goes up, on that day that the tax goes up, someone will have to measure the remaining gas in the tank, in their tank, and pay the additional tax that they will owe. And that's the way the wording is supposed to be. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you, Senator Hunstead. We'll have questions when we get all done with the proponents and opponents.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 86? Good morning,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Hilmer, I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Is it on? Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Thought it looked like it was on. So, Deb Hilmer, director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. First, I'd like to thank Senator Hunstead for working with the department to amend this bill to put it into a form that will allow for the collection of an inventory tax if a tax increase is passed either this year or in the future.
Basically, Senator Hunstad explained to you that kind of the history of the bill and how we got to where we were. So I won't go through that again, but we do rise in support of this because it will provide us a mechanism that will be consistent for any tax increase in the future that we will be able to collect the inventory tax in the event that there is a tax increase in the future. So we do support the bill from that. And again, I'd like to thank Senator Hunstad for working with us on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Silmer. Further proponents to Senate Bill 86. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Donna Lightsky, the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. Again, we are the stakeholders here. I represent the gas stations and truck stops. So at some point in the future, if a tax is increased, we have to have a mechanism to collect and remit that to the state of South Dakota. I'm not remitting fuel tax could result in penalties if an audit does occur. So it's important that there is a mechanism in place. So we ask you to support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lightsky. Further proponents to Senate Bill 86? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 86? Seeing no opponents, we will waive the rebuttal and move to committee questions. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we will move to committee action and or discussion.
Okay.
Representative Fiker. Representative Fiker, you make the motion? A motion by Fiker do pass, second by Representative Noem. Comments on that motion, Representative Fiker.
Well, earlier I had conversations with Senator Hunstad about this issue, and it has changed considerably. And thanks to the help of DOT, and I think that it's a good bill and good support. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fiker. Further comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 86? Seeing none. We'll move to the vote. All those in favor say aye. All opposed nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler.
Aye.
Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Lang.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 15 ayes.
Senate Bill 86, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
Second.
Motion by Greenfield, second by Cutler to move Senate Bill 86 to the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Senate Bill 86 is on the consent calendar. Very agreeable bunch this morning.
Thank you, committee. I'm looking forward to the next bill I bring in here. The way I get treated in here is really outstanding.
Yes. Thank you. Moving right along, Senate Bill 80, an act to revise the property tax levies for the general fund of a school district. Are there any proponents? Representative Noem.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Christy Noem, representative from District 6. Today I bring to you Senate Bill 80, which is our Cutler-Gabriel amendment that we see every year. This is a bill that will allow us a mechanism at the end of session this year to go into a conference committee and set the levies that impact our general fund revenues. This bill sets the maximum levies that could be. I am handing out an amendment right now, and what this amendment will do, I'd ask you to adopt that amendment, because what it will do is change the amount of the maximum levy for homeowners, for ag land, and for non-ag land, so that we may have the ability to send this piece of legislation before we leave here in 2 weeks into a conference committee and discuss with the Senate exactly where those levies need to be set before we go home. So if you would consider doing that, you should have the amendment before you. I'd ask for your support of the amendment and the bill. And there, from what it looks like, there may be other amendments, but the one that you're currently getting right now is the one that I would like to have adopted, and I would consider a friendly amendment. I want to also point out that this bill, what it impacts is the school, is for school funding purposes, is the levies that are included in this bill. So with that, I will close and stay around for questions.
Thank you, Representative Noem. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 80? Any further proponents?
I'm not sure whether I'm a proponent or an opponent. In the present form, I'm an opponent. If it were amended, I'd have to be a proponent. So what?
Please, if you would like, I would allow you the flexibility to testify on both the bill and the proposed amendment. So.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Senator Stan Adelstein. Senator from District 32. I've been a representative from District 32 as well. What I have brought to you today is an amendment that would institute fairness after a number of years, since the first Cutler-Gabriel proportion was arrived at. We've all sat here and known that we had to make compromises, and indeed the Cutler-Gabriel, in order to get the state to pay a share, had to come up with a compromise, and that compromise has been penalizing owner-occupied homes for a number of years. I came to understand that when I was on appropriations, in fact, when I was vice chairman of appropriations in the House, but didn't know quite how to fix it because it's a pretty involved question. This year, I've spent probably 100 hours, and then I've worked with the appropriations people in LRC, and the fact is that right now, owner-occupied is paying an unfair proportion of the local effort. So I tried to determine what would be a fair amount that would bring local effort to owner-occupied in total relationship to ag property, and that's where I came up with the amendment that raises them both, lowers homeowners to 360, and raises ag property to 360. It has this effect. It arrives at exactly the same amount of owner-occupied, same amount of local effort, $141 million, approximately. It's about the same. It's the same in either case, plus or minus a few thousand. It lowers the owner-occupied tax without penalizing the schools. The schools will get exactly the same amount of money as they would have gotten with a local effort at $141 million, but owner-occupied has a reduction in their mill levy, and you can see, because I've handed out to almost all of you, except my good friend Representative Junkie, whose district isn't affected, I've handed out to you the amount of dollars that the owner-occupied in your district will reduce their mill levy on their homes. The fact is that we all live with districts where we have retired older people. We all live in districts that have people who've already put two generations through school and who are having a terrible time paying local property taxes. This is a fair reduction. It's a shift. It's a fair shift because when the state was started, as the letter I wrote you, wealth was taxed because that was the only source of wealth to pay for public education. And it still should be taxed, but it should be taxed fairly. $100,000 worth of owner-occupied property is no less or no more valuable. No more valuable than $100,000 of a ranch or a farm. I'm certainly willing to answer any questions. I hope that you will add this amendment to the bill and pass it to the floor that way, because it'll make it easier for me, frankly. There are actually 30 districts that have towns that will have a savings to the owner-occupied. In other words, there are 60 representatives that they'll have to contact again, but if it goes on the bill now, it's easier than trying to do it on the floor. appreciate your support. I'll be standing by for questions. And thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to be in this sort of strange plus or minus position.
Thank you, Senator Adelstein. Are there any further proponents to Senate Bill 80? Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. I just wanted to sort of, I'm in the same strange situation that Senator Adelstein is in, not knowing, I think the original amendment with the that was presented to you from Representative Noem follows the traditional procedure for the Cutler-Gabriel process. The bill is amended and then it's eventually sent to a conference committee. Once the legislature has determined the impact of any, once the bills that might impact the Cutler-Gabriel process have been finally determined, BFM runs the numbers and those numbers are put into a final form in the bill in a conference committee. The amendment that was just handed out to you, 80TA, is significantly different from that normal process. What it would do is cause a large tax shift. The agricultural property owners would pay more, significantly more, and the owner-occupied property owners would say would pay less. I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of that tax shift that would be caused by 80TA. With that, thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents to Senate Bill 80? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 80? Seeing no further opponents, I would allow Representative Noem to have a little summary since there's kind of a competing amendment out there.
There is, and I would just encourage this committee. There's a lot of moving parts in this year's session. I think that the amendment that was handed out by the senator has a different type of an agenda that I necessarily feel like should be addressed within this legislation that we currently have. I'm not convinced, and I'm just speculating here because I haven't run the numbers, but if we move the dollar amount of value per thousand on ag land, and we move it on owner-occupied as well within a school district, I'm not necessarily certain that each school district will be held harmless unless they hold the exact same dollar amount of value within that school district. So the impact on a school district, I feel like with the second amendment that was offered by the senator, necessarily we're not quite sure of what impact that would have on our school district. So I would ask that we follow the mechanism that we have that we've operated with for years on this Cutler-Gabriel amendment, allow us the opportunity to go into conference committee at the end of session after we have all of our decisions made, our bills passed, all the things that could possibly impact our school funding, and make a wise decision based on what we need to do that's fully informed and accurate. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Noem. With that, we will close the public testimony and move to questions of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Michael Kenyon, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Curiosity, with the ag productivity model proposed going into effect and not knowing just exactly where all the, well, I guess knowing that some of those values are going to change too, they're going to shift around. To me, it seems like kind of a uncertain time to be proposing mill levy changes. Have you got any comment on that? What kind of an effect could this have?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be very difficult to predict the impact that this would have. I think you're right. This would be a large change in philosophy on the taxes at the same time that we're doing a large change in philosophy upon the valuation. And that would be extremely tricky to predict how that would impact individual property owners.
Follow-up question? Thank you. I guess I can foresee some potential problems, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but some potential equalization issues in the respective counties that may be affected more one way or the other, and it just seems to me like we really could cause some real issues out in the agriculture community with this. Can you comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be sort of a cumulative effect. You have if you have a county who is increasing ag value because of the shift to productivity, and in addition to that, you're charging them a higher mill levy rate, which EDTA would do, they would pay significantly more property taxes in those areas.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will move to committee action and or discussion. I have a couple amendments out there.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move Amendment 80FA.
Second. Motion by Greenfield, second by Cutler to move Amendment 80FA. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Senate Bill 80 is so amended with 80FA. Further comments and or action on Senate Bill 80FA as currently amended?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move do pass.
Second.
Motion by Greenfield, do pass as amended, second by Cutler. Comments on that motion? Seeing no further comments. Representative Hunoff, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, quite right. I think to make the process work, I don't see any problem with moving the bill through the committee and into the conference process. This is the bill I think we should make public. This is a bill that could potentially represent an increase in property taxes for South Dakotans, depending on how the appropriations process works and how all the other appropriations bills move through. So we reserve the right to obviously have an interesting discussion on the floor on this, because this could have a potential impact of an increase in property taxes. But for now, I think we do need to move the process through. I've not been here the last few years, but I understand this will go to conference committee. At that point, we'll revise these figures again, no doubt. And in that point, it could reduce, it could represent the status quo, or it could represent, what, as I understand, maybe a $6 million increase in property taxes. So my recommendation, move it to the conference committee and have a discussion on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as everybody out there knows, a lot of important decisions have to be made yet. I think it's premature to start foreshadowing debates that are going to be on the floor and tales that are going to be told that may or may not be true. So I would just encourage people to go ahead and move this to the floor. We'll deal with that as we always do, and we'll pass it, and the Senate will not concur, and it'll go into conference, and over the next couple of weeks, all the important decisions that are made, I guess, will shape whatever the final outcome is. But again, I think it's terribly premature to be foreshadowing a bloodbath that's going to take place on the floor.
Any further comments? Representative Noem.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the committee's participation in this discussion today. And I ask that this is one of those tools that we use that helps us to adequately assess property taxes and make sure that our schools are funded adequately. So I just want to thank you for your consideration, and I ask that you support the motion.
Thank you. We'll move to final action here. So all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Bikert?
Aye.
Gibson?
No.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
No.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lederman?
No.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 12 ayes, 3 noes.
House Bill 80FA, motion do pass as amended. Having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Chair. Representative Noem?
Mr. Chair, personal privilege, please.
Absolutely.
Well, I just want to introduce to the committee, I have a couple of special guests. Kirsten Noem is here. She is married to my husband's cousin, but she also has her son Robert here, who one day very well could be running this country. If you want to have an interesting conversation today, make sure you have a conversation with Robert. He will challenge you on everything you believe in and your principles, and it'll be very stimulating. So welcome them for me.
Welcome. With that, that wraps up our calendar for today. If you're not aware or confused, or maybe you do know, we have the ability to have a meeting on Friday, and the intent is to try and get done on Thursday, but I'm going to have Linda schedule all of the bills on Thursday on Friday as well, just in case, because I anticipate Thursday will be a lengthy session. And Friday is essentially our last day to move bills out of committee. So be prepared. We'll probably go at 7:45 on Thursday, and we'll have a full day. So with that, unless there's anything up, oh, Representative Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Friday, I've heard, where will we be? Will we be? We probably will not be in this room, I'm assuming.
We'll try and figure out the logistics and just watch your agenda. We'll highlight if there's a different location on that, so. Yep. Fred says we will be in this room. Okay, super. Okay, with that, Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Solem, second by Junkie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. We are adjourned.